بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, a great tabi'i of the past, a pious saint and great scholar, Khalid ibn Ma'dan, rahimahullahu ta'ala, once said, إِذَا فُتِحَ لِأَحَدِكُمْ بَابٌ لِلْخَيْرِ فَلْيُسْرِعْ إِلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يُخْلَقْ عَلَيْهِ. He says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a door of opportunity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a door of goodness for you, then hurry towards that door. Make most of that opportunity. Head towards that window of good and khair and opportunity that Allah has opened up for you. Why? فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يُخْلَقُ عَلَيْهِ. He does not know when the door of opportunity will close. Opportunities come and go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to enjoy certain opportunities. Allah, throughout your journey of life, Allah will send down opportunities for you without you even asking for them. And when Allah sends down that opportunity, Khalid ibn Ma'dan rahimahullah says, grab the opportunity, whether you ask for it or not. Make most of the opportunity. Why? Because that opportunity will not last forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to enjoy different opportunities, and He opens up different doors of good and khair for us to take a lot of good out from. Sometimes the opportunity is in the form of some spiritual activity. Very often Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a season of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a season of worship for us. We are now currently in the longest season of worship of the year. This season of worship started with the first of Rajab, when we made the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Right from that day did the season of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened it up for us. A door of good, a window of opportunity. And it continues. We are now in the second stage. Stage two of that season of worship. And then we ask Allah to allow us to experience stage three, which is the month of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up this opportunity of good for you. It is what you make of that opportunity, that window of opportunity, the window of good. And it will come to an end. The door will be closed. So sometimes it's in the form, the opportunity is in the form of enhancing your spiritual self, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and drawing nearer to Him, coming closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes gives you an opportunity in the form of assisting someone, in whichever way, in whichever form. Sometimes Allah gives you the opportunity to help someone financially, through the wealth that Allah has blessed you with. The opportunity comes. Sometimes, very often, people say they are suffering from fundraising fatigue. Every now and again there is an appeal made. We require funds for this organization, or we need funds for this project, or we need funds for this masjid, or for this orphanage, and so on and so forth. People say we are suffering from a fundraising fatigue. When that opportunity comes to you, you have not asked for it, and you can give and you can donate, do so. Why? If you do not make most of the opportunities that come your way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops sending those opportunities to you. Because you don't make most of the opportunities that Allah sends for you, you are chosen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately sent that opportunity banging at your door. And guess what? When you do make most of the opportunities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends more of them to you. Why? Because you make most of the opportunities that come your way. So opportunities come and go. Sometimes it is in the form of assisting someone through the wealth that Allah has blessed you with, through the knowledge that you have, through the skill that you have acquired. Different ways. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us opportunities to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes that opportunity is in the form of a nikah. We will witness the nikah this afternoon, insha'Allah ta'ala. This is an opportunity of good, khair. There's so much good that comes out of the nikah. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the youngsters and instructed the youth. When that opportunity is there, and you have that window before you, and Allah has opened it up before you, don't let go of that opportunity. How often you find people, because of the career and because of the studies and because of whatever else they have in their life, they procrastinate and they delay and they delay. And now you have a girl of advanced age and now she wants to get married. Or you have a youngster and now he wants to get married. At this stage, at this late stage in their lives, the opportunity is no longer there. You had the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the door and the window of opportunity for you, the door of good. Khalid ibn Ma'dan says it doesn't stay open for too long. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually close the door of opportunity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the youngsters, Ya ma'ashara al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj. Whoever from amongst you has the means to get married, then get married. Get married. The moment you have the means and you are capable of getting married, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that's a door of khair, of good that Allah has opened up for you. Get married, get in there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises the fathers. Sometimes the delay, the procrastination is from the parents, from the seniors, from the elders. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا أَتَاكُم مَّن تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. If someone comes and asks for your daughter's hand in marriage, and you are very much satisfied with the level of that person's deen, you are satisfied with the level of Islam that that person has, and you are satisfied with the character. These two things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when that proposal comes from the youngster, from the boy, look at the deen, look at the level of commitment to deen, the level of commitment to Allah. The one who will be loyal to Allah will not be disloyal to his wife. So number one, look at the level of deen. Number two, look at the character. And if you are satisfied with these two, فَزَوِّجُوهُ, get him married to your daughter. The opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very often gives us is the day of Jumu'ah. It's a door of good that we experience and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up for us on a weekly basis. There's so much khair in these 24 hours that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us every week. It's a door of khair. Sunset, the door closes. We do not know if we are going to witness a sunrise on another Jumu'ah. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says everything about the day of Jumu'ah is special. أحب الصلوات عند الله صلاة الصبح يوم الجمعة في جماعة. The salah that Allah loves the most throughout the week, the salah that is really beloved to Allah, is the Fajr salah that you pray in the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah. Why is it so special? Why does Allah love that salah? Out of all the many salahs, why does Allah love that salah the most? It is the Fajr salah of the day of Jumu'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the sahaba to give out charity on the day of Jumu'ah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who relates the hadith wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, أَيَّتَصَدَّقْ بِمَا قَلَّ أَوْ مَا كَفُرْ. Whatever you can give on the day of Jumu'ah, whether it is a little, give a little. If you cannot give much, then give a little. But give something on the day of Jumu'ah. Why? It's the charity of the day of Jumu'ah. And the charity of the day of Jumu'ah carries greater reward than the charity of any other day. The door of opportunity, the door of good. Don't let that opportunity miss you. Don't let it pass you by. We look at the dua of the day of Jumu'ah. It's a special dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَقُومُ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ وَهُوَ يُصَلِّي يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّهُ. There's a moment on the day of Jumu'ah when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During that moment, Allah will answer your dua. So the dua on the day of Jumu'ah is a special dua. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about the death of the day of Jumu'ah. So you want to get everything in there. The moment the sun sets on a Thursday, you want to get your Surah Kahf in there. You want to get your charity in there. You want to get your salat ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in there. You want to get your dua in there, because in 24 hours time the sun sets and that opportunity is no longer there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, considering that this is an occasion of nikah and a nikah will be taking place, some words of advice for myself and everyone else. When we look at the relationships in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes different relationships in the Quran. Allah speaks of the relationship that the Anbiya had with the communities and with the people. Allah speaks of the relationship between a king and his subjects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a relationship between the parent and the child. Allah also describes the relationship between husband and wife. And from all the relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of in the Quran, and the relationship that Allah has described in the Quran, the most unique description is the description given to the relationship between husband and wife. Allah says in the Quran, describing their relationship, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you, O husbands, O menfolk, you are a libas, a covering, a garment for them. And they are a covering, they are a garment for you. Short expression, but so profound, subhanAllah. In Arabic, we call this tashbih. Tashbih. Or you could translate it as a metaphorical analogy. This is an analogy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the man to a garment. And Allah is describing his wife to a garment. He covers her, she covers him. So this is a metaphor. And it's a direct metaphor. It is a direct metaphor. A direct metaphor meaning it is the most profound analogy that you can find. When it comes to metaphorical analogy, one is you say, he is like the ocean. That's not a direct metaphor. But when you say, he is the ocean, he is the ocean. It's not just like the ocean. It's a very exaggerated form of analogy. And that is what Allah says. Allah did not say, hunna kal libas. They are like garments. Allah says, hunna libas. Your wives are garments. Wa antum libas. Allah did not say antum kal libas. Allah says you are libas. So this is the most profound metaphor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to describe the relationship between husband and wife. Now when you have a direct metaphor in Arabic, right, and in any other language, you have the compared and you have the compared to. The compared and the compared to. For example, I say Zayd is Bahrun. Zayd is an ocean. So Zayd is the compared, Bahrun is the compared to. You have these two basic elements in this type of a metaphor. Now the main component here is the compared to, which is the ocean. That's the main component. You study the main component. So when I say Zayd is an ocean, we want to know why Zayd is compared to the ocean. So we need to study the characteristics that are found in the ocean. Then we know why he's been called the ocean. So when we go to the ocean, we see the ocean is very generous. Right? The ocean gives us fresh food. The ocean gives us jewels. The ocean gives us pearls. So we understand, oh, okay, Zayd is the ocean, meaning he has reached the peak and the height in his generosity. So when Allah has called you a garment, Allah says, you are a garment. We need to go and study the garment. To see what are the characteristics that are found in the garment, in the libas. Why has Allah called you a libas for your wife? Why has Allah called my wife a libas for me? So I need to study the libas. I need to study the garment and see what are the characteristics found in the garment. Those characteristics need to be in me. I need to develop them. And my wife needs to have those characteristics within her. Now let us look at the garment. And let us look at the characteristics of the garment. As explained in the Quran, when Allah speaks of the garment, the physical garment that you put on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. Allah is now talking of and speaking of the characteristics found in the physical garment that we wear. The first characteristic of the garment, as explained in this ayah, there are two characteristics in this one ayah. The first characteristic, Allah says that the garment yuwari so'atikum, it conceals, it hides It never ever exposes your saw'ah. Allah uses saw'at. Saw'at is the plural of saw'ah. What does saw'ah mean? Saw'ah is anything you are embarrassed about. You feel ashamed about. Your private organs, for example. Or you have some blemish on your body. Or there are some scars. Or perhaps multiple folds. And you wouldn't want anyone to see it. You wouldn't want anyone to know about it. So Allah says, this garment, what does it do? It covers all that up. And Allah has called you a libas for your wife. Which means what? Whatever she doesn't want anyone else to know, you are going to cover it up. And whatever you don't want others to know, she's going to cover it up. Your weaknesses, your shortcomings, whatever imperfections you have within you, she'll cover that up. She's your libas. And you're going to cover up her imperfections. You are not going to go to your mom's house, or you are not going to go to your parents' home and speak about the weaknesses, the shortcomings, and the imperfections that she has within her. And she will not do the same. Because Allah says, you are a libas for her. Whatever she's ashamed about and embarrassed about, you have to cover that up. And the libas does so inherently. So it's an inherent characteristic that you should have within you as a husband, that you should have within you as a wife. Whether the garment likes it or not, it covers up and conceals all those areas of shame. So that's the first thing we learned about the libas. The imperfection that you see in the next person, the weakness that you see in the next person, should remind you of your own weakness. Why is it that today, especially on social media, we are very quick to go and expose the weaknesses, the imperfections, the mistakes that others have made. And we choose to ignore the very imperfections that we have. Every one of us, kullu bani Adam khata. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every child of Adam is an exaggerated description. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, is filled with mistakes. Khata'un. Filled with mistakes. So the imperfection you see, especially in someone so close to you, the weakness you see in that person, the first thing you should do is you should remind me of my own imperfection. Remind me of my own weakness. The second attribute of the and characteristic of the libas. So Allah says it conceals the faults, right? And you are a libas for your wife, and your wife is a libas for you. Number two, warisha. What does the garment do? It makes you look good. It beautifies you. It adorns you. Without it, you don't look so attractive, trust me. And when you put it on, it beautifies you, it adorns you. So while concealing her shortcomings, and while she conceals your weaknesses and shortcomings, you beautify one another. You speak about the good. There's good in every believer. Rasulullah says, as weak as the believer is, fi kullin khair. There's good in every single believer. Seek the good in others. Seek the good in others. One great scholar says, Allah has blessed us with two eyes. The one eye, you keep it on the good found in others. The second eye, keep it on the weakness and the imperfection that you have within yourself. How Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the good qualities of Khadija. Subhanallah, even after her demise, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Inni qad ruziqtu hubbaha. I have been nourished with the love of Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak about her good qualities and characteristics. So you are a libas for your wife. You will adorn her. You will beautify her. Speak about the good within her. The last characteristic, considering I'm out of time, the last characteristic shared in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَرَابِيلَ تَقِيكُمُ الْحَرِّ. Elsewhere Allah refers to the libas, to the garment as sarabil. Another characteristic of the libas, Allah says, taqikum al-har. What does the libas do? It's a protective gear. It protects you from the heat, from the harsh conditions of the climate. It protects you from the cold. It protects you from the rain. That's one of the inherent qualities found within the garment. It protects you. You are a protective gear for her. She is a protective gear for you. Number one, protection against what? Protection against the disobedience of Allah. You are there to make sure she never ever falls into the disobedience of Allah. She is there to ensure that you never fall into the disobedience of Allah. The primary objective of the relationship you have with the next person is to introduce that person to Allah. Whether it is your child, whether it is your son, whether it is your daughter, whether it is your husband or your wife. The primary objective where Allah has put someone in your life is to introduce that person to Allah, to connect that person to Allah. There are secondary objectives. And if I have not introduced my wife to Allah, and if she has not introduced me to Allah, if I have not introduced my son or my daughter to Allah, then wallahi, I have failed. It might sound harsh, but that's the reality. I have failed as a parent. I have failed as a spouse. I have failed as a husband or as a wife. If I have not fulfilled the primary objective of the relationship that I have with the next person. Every other objective, there are many secondary objectives, the academic needs, the educational needs, the emotional needs, the physical needs, and so on and so forth. Those are very, very important. But right on the top, primary objective, the spiritual need of the child, the spiritual need of your wife, the spiritual need of the husband. Connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's another characteristic that's found in the garment. You are going to protect one another, help one another, stay on track. And that's why you have that person in your life to help you along the way. When you jump into the vehicle, right, and our brother who's getting married this afternoon and many others, you're about to board this vehicle, super, super luxury vehicle, mashallah. You get onto that vehicle and the first thing you do is you punch in the destination. Have common destination. Commonality in your aspiration. Commonality in your destination. What are you punching? Jannah is our destination. Jannah is our destination. We're gonna help one another get to Jannah. And at any time you find that the husband is veering off, moving in a different direction, as the wife, your duty is what? You are the co-pilot. We need to stay on track here. And the moment the wife wants to go in a different direction, the husband's responsibility is to ensure that the two of them are moving in one direction. And if one wants to move in one direction and the other in another direction, you're going to have a very unpleasant ride. You're going to have a very, very, very unpleasant ride. There must be commonality in purpose, commonality in objective. And along the way, there'll be passengers who will board that vehicle. Along the way, Allah will bless you with a son. Allah will bless you with a daughter along the way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدْ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child is born in an influenced natural state of Islam. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِ. The parents introduce the child to Christianity. The parents introduce the child to Judaism. The parents introduce the child to a lifestyle that is foreign to Islam. You are the very first influencer in the life of your child. Allah has blessed the parent with the power of influence. You know what an amazing power that is? The power of influence. Allah has given you the power of influence. The child is the product of the decisions you made for your child. The choices that you made for the child. The influence that you had on the child is a direct product of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.